The State Department is churning out student and tourist visas at a record clip. They now number about 10 million a year. That's 50% more than in 2010. To achieve those numbers while decreasing wait times, the department had to streamline its processes. Ed Ramotowski is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Visa Services in the Bureau of Consular Affairs. He and his team are finalists for this year's Service to America medals for their work. He tells Federal News Radio's Tom Temin his marching orders came from the White House.
The president has underlined the importance of international tourism for the United States by issuing an executive order that, among other things, requires the State Department to ensure that 80% of visa applicants at a minimum can receive an appointment at one of our embassies or consulates abroad in 3 weeks or less. That was an order that was issued in January of 2012. Prior to that, as you mentioned, the situation was not so good. There were 120-day wait times at our consulate in Sao Paulo, Brazil, which is one of our busiest in the world, and Brazil is a very important target market for the U.S. travel and tourism industry. China had similar issues with up to 90-day wait times in places like Shanghai, which, again, are extremely busy facilities and big target markets for our travel and tourism industry. We took on this challenge as an all-agency cooperative effort. We needed to improve our policies and procedures. We needed to make them more efficient. We needed to send additional resources abroad to our embassies and consulates. We needed to work with other agency partners here in Washington to get their buy-in for the measures that we wanted to introduce. And we also wanted to work with the private sector, with the travel and tourism industry, to engage them, to benefit from their experience and target our resources.
But you were asked to do something pretty steep. In other words, from, say, 30 weeks to 3 weeks is really an exponential improvement.
That's right. And it didn't happen overnight. And it is a real credit to all of our consular personnel around the world who really worked hard to whittle down those wait times and provide a much more positive experience for foreign visitors.
So what was causing the wait times that you could, it sounds like you attacked it almost step by step throughout the process or the chain of processes required to get people in?
That's right. We have a complex immigration law that imposes a lot of requirements on foreign visitors. Most of them have to submit biometrics, electronic fingerprints. All of them submit photographs. And most first-time applicants require a personal interview with a consular officer. Unlike most other countries, and certainly unlike most of our competitors in the travel and tourism field, we have a lot of work to do before we can make a decision on an applicant's visa. So we attacked each of those issues individually, obtaining agreement from other agency partners to waive interviews where that did not compromise security, because national security is always our number one priority, and make our entire process more efficient. In talking to various private sector contacts, we benefited from their experience, for example, with handling large volumes of people in lines. We talked to Disney about that. We talked to Marriott about serving customers and so forth. So we benefited from private sector expertise as well. But the really decisive factor was the dedication and service-mindedness of all of our consular personnel.
And just give us the context here. There are many, many types of visas, the H-1B, H-1-2, and all of these different types. These were the visas for people who simply wanted to come as tourists somewhat longer than a normal vacation stay.
You're right. There's quite a variety of visas, but the vast majority of travelers are coming for temporary visits for either business or pleasure, either tourists or temporary business travel. That's the B category of visa, and that's what we focused on. But we certainly didn't ignore the other categories. Student visas, for example, are very important to the United States. It's bringing in foreign students benefits our economy, but it also helps influence the future leaders of other countries, and we give them priority treatment as well. And the measures we put into place with priority appointments and making the process more efficient have benefited all categories of visa travelers.
And did you find that the main impediments or the main slowdowns were processes, or what about the IT systems that support all of this?
Well, it was a mix of things, and IT remains a big challenge for us because our visa process is entirely electronic at this point for visitor visas. And so there's a lot of data going back and forth between our 228 embassies and consulates and headquarters and other agencies, and that requires a very robust IT support effort. Demand has also grown. We're back to pre-9/11 levels of visa issuance, which is a good thing for our country because foreign travelers support over 1 million U.S. jobs and contribute billions of dollars to our economy. And that in itself has strained the system. Nowhere more than in China. And China has become our largest visa operation. In 2014, it overtook Mexico as our busiest visitor visa location. And the demand continues to rise at an impressive 50% level.
We're speaking with Edward Ramotowski. He's Deputy Assistant Secretary for the Visa Services at the Department of State's Bureau of Consular Affairs. And so one of the things that you did to speed this up is make more space in the facilities and consulates around the world by pushing some other functions out. Tell us more about that one.
Well, that was another effort to emulate some of the best practices in the private sector as well. We call that global support strategy. And it involves handling public inquiries and appointment scheduling and information through call centers, some regional and some in larger countries that are just dedicated to that particular country. And that relieved a lot of administrative burdens on the embassies and consulates and allowed carefully trained private contractors to take over a function that was not inherently governmental. So it was a win-win situation for our applicants and for us.
Because the issue, I guess, was the sheer physical space to accommodate visitors in the consulates?
That's correct. And many of our facilities are quite old and were designed for a different time when personal appearances of applicants was not necessarily required and certainly before the fingerprinting requirement went into effect. We've also expanded a number of our facilities. All of our offices in China have either been expanded or are in the process of being expanded to cope with growth, and we're doing that elsewhere in the world as well.
So it sounds like for all the purported ills of the United States and all the ways we're engaged, some popularly, some not so popularly, around the world, there is tremendous demand to come here to see what we've got as tourists and visitors.
Absolutely there is. The sheer variety of experiences that are available in the United States is unparalleled elsewhere in the world, and we've been good partners with our travel and tourism industry, with Brand USA, which is now the federal tourism marketing organization for the United States as a whole. We use our resources abroad, our embassies and consulates, as platforms to promote the USA as a destination. And, of course, we want to make the visa experience as efficient and painless as possible for legitimate travelers, while at the same time ensuring that individuals who seek to do us harm are not admitted. Apart from all the economic benefits that this international travel provides to us, as a diplomat with 29 years' experience, the positive impressions that foreign travelers gain after they visit our country and meet with the ordinary Americans and see all of the tremendous things that we have to offer, the goodwill and the improvement in the U.S. image abroad is something you can't gain any other way. It's a gift that keeps on giving when these people return to their home countries.
And what was it like to find out that you were a SAMMY's finalist?
Well, that was a big surprise, certainly, but a very pleasant one. And it's a real credit to the entire team of people that are helping us achieve this. It's not something that any one individual can achieve on his or her own. It's a complete team effort throughout our bureau, throughout our department, and with many other interagency partners.